The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
All right. I'd like to see you all again. Birshut, my father, my in-laws, if they're listening, and Rabbi Levy, who's in office, he's kindly given us his office for this recording. We've prefaced the... Sorry. Let me just get the date. Yud Tammuz Tovshin Peter, the 2nd of July, Rabbi Nemeth, Buttered Egg, Star of David Torahway, North West London. Okay, we've prefaced other shiurim with a brief brishus, my father. I don't know if you heard that, and Rabbi Levy is listening as well. And we've prefaced other shiurim with a brief introduction of the Ramosha Montefiore, and simply because this is, you know, I work here in Maida Vale, and I teach in the Montefiore Kollel here and in the school, and therefore it's only fair if it's their time that we spend a couple of minutes before remembering such a special person. Actually, we're lucky enough today, if you're watching this video, we have a picture of him behind, just over there on the far left, and Rabbi Levy informed me that the chairs that we're sitting on over here were actually in... East Kiss Lodge in Ramsgate, in the sukkah of Rav Moshe Montefiore. So they go back, nearly a couple of hundred years, and that was in Ramsgate near the shul, as many of you have been there, in on Honeysuckle Lane. But his house was much further down, and these chairs there in this office are from the sukkah. So we're pretty much surrounded, and this chair should be the Ilu Nishmasa, and it's pretty apt because we're coming up to his yard site soon as well, in Av, in the middle of Av. And normally we would go down there, make a minyan, and say a few shiurim and have some breakfast. This year, I don't know what will be, but this year, either way, should be le'ilu nishmasa. And we're also coming up to Shiva Asav HaTamuz. And, most of us have struggled a lot with just the connection to Yerushalayim. And although, I personally cry when I hear people say, why are we're crying because we can't cry? Because everyone has said that every single year for the past 15 years. But it's a valid point, and most of us, I think, feel a bit frustrated that we're missing out on the emotions and the connections to something which is so humongous, really, within Yiddishkeit itself. And, all I can say is that, Rav Moshe Montefiore himself was someone we could learn from in specifically that area. The story goes it was Moshe Shabbos, and he was sitting with his wife in East Kiss Lodge, maybe on these chairs, and I doubt he was in the sukkah. Although it was October time, so maybe he hadn't taken his sukkah down, but probably someone, he paid someone to take it down. But either way, he was sitting having a lava malka, and him together with his wife, Lady Judith, were talking about Eretz Yisrael. And don't forget, this is well before the days that this, loving Eretz Yisrael depends on what size kappa you have and where you live in Eretz Yisrael or not. This is well, well, well before that. There's no movement at all. It's a genuine, pure, simple Yiddish halal for Eretz Yisrael. And they were talking about it. And that man, Montefiore, had a dream. And Eliyahu HaNavi came to him in the dream. And he pointed in the sky to Yerushalayim. And he wrote in the sky, Koineh HaKol, which means the creator of all. And he had this dream three times in the night, where he saw like a hand pointing to Yerushalayim and writing Koineh HaKol, which means the creator of all. And he took that as a sign after he woke up to devote his life to helping even Eretz Yisrael. Now, as we've spoken on this year in the past, he developed a very close relationship with Shmuel Salant, who encouraged him to open Kollelim and other, and to support other institutions of learning in Yerushalayim, and generally to help the people, especially in the old Yishuv as well, which was a big political move in those days. And he took other people's money to Eretz Yisrael. Well, I'm sure a lot of us can do that as well, and we do. But he gave his own money and he traveled there many times, which I don't have to tell you was just the most difficult trip to take on in those days, going through plague and bandits and all sorts of countries that were dangerous to travel through with his wife. But there's something small we can learn from him just before the 3 weeks, is that in order to love, Eretz Yisrael, feel a connection to the Beis HaMikdash and understand what we're missing, that we have to put some effort into it. And once you put effort into something, then you develop more of a kasher and a connection to it. Montefiore really, literally gave his whole life afterwards over to helping even across the world, but specifically in Eretz Yisrael. He felt a stronger afterwards connection to it. And that's what we have to remember as we they'll come closer to the 3 weeks. We'll not only get to learn about the Beit HaMikdash and what happened and what we're missing, but we have to support people living in Eretz Yisrael and help them, and that by will feel more of a connection to it, and we'll feel maybe a slight more of a desire for Mashiach to come, the Beit HaMikdash to be rebuilt, and Herev Yameinu Amen, which is a difficult challenge, but it's something we can overcome. Now, the shir today is as follows. We spoke last time about checking eggs, more common. This is also common, but maybe slightly less well-known, the answers to it, at least from speaking to people anyway. So correct me if I'm wrong. The shaila is the following. You have eggs in the sink, and the eggs sitting in the sink are, let's say, in a milky sink, so they're cold, and someone by mistake pours on top of them hot boiling butter or milk for that matter as well, anything milky. So cold eggs in the sink, you boiled them hours ago, they're sitting in the sink, and you pour on top of it boiled and hot bubbling butter from a kivushin straight from the fire onto the egg. So this is Erev Shabbat, and therefore you want to have these eggs together with liver. So are you allowed to do that now? That's what we're going to discuss. And after that, we'll discuss, just because this is so common, and this is like the most common bus of a kol of shayla, we'll discuss whether you can cook these eggs in a milky pot at all. We'll leave off if we have time for that as well. But the question starts with the following. Cold egg in a milky sink, boiling hot butter on top. Okay? Could you have that now with liver, which is, for Shabbos morning? So this is an interesting question, because, who said the egg are part of, to begin with, they come from the chicken, and they're meaty, or they're chicken. And they're a piece of meat, these eggs. When they come from inside the oviduct of the chicken, they're meaty. And the answer is they are meaty. And when an egg starts to develop and it's actually meaty, it's not part of at all. And therefore, if you kill the chicken without shechting it, it'll be part of an aveda. You would need to salt it for blood, if it has blood, because it's a piece of meat, not a piece of egg. The egg starts off with a very small yellow sac, which is the yellow and the yolk. Then it goes through, so to speak, for lack of a better terminology, it goes through a production line. And a little thing gets deposited on this yellow as it grows, as it goes down the line, until eventually it comes out of the chicken, gets the yellow. And the yellow gets a bit bigger, it leaves the place where it's born, and it comes, the white goes around it, and it goes further down, and the shell hardens, and it comes out. But right at the beginning of that process, the egg is meaty, and it's a piece of meat, and it needs melicha, it would become an avela, and you can't have it with milk. It starts off before the egg becomes a fully blown regular egg that we have in our kitchen. The egg is a piece of meat, like any other piece of meat. And you can't mix it with milk. You can't, if you kill it without shechita, it would become an avela. It's very rare that we ever come across that. Why? Because I'm talking about right at the beginning of the development, when it's yellow. And many were showing them, and the Gemara says maybe even later on, maybe even before the shells come on, but the white and the yellow are fully formed, maybe at that point, it's still meaty. But everyone agrees that once the shell has come on and it's come out, it's parut. It's developed its own identity, so to speak. So it changes its halachic name. It starts off by being called meat. And at some point of the production process, there are hundreds of views of when the Rashba, Tosfos, Rashi in the Gemara itself, what did Rabbi Yaakov mean in the Gemara is based on Daf Zayin. What does Tosfos mean? What does Rashi mean? There's so many shittas, but it's irrelevant for now to confuse yourself with them. What you have to know is that it starts off being meaty. It's butter. You can't mix it with challah. An egg is not para. But that's when it's much more part of the chicken and part of an independent egg. And as it moves on, it gets the white, and definitely after the shell has hardened, and now it's come out, it's no more a piece of meat than it's para. That's point number one. You didn't mix basa b'challah. Even though it's come from a chicken, it's fairly confusing. At a certain point, it would be even in a high. It's not a piece of meat. because they transformed identity into an egg. And that's what you're seeing in your kitchen when you buy it. Unless you put your hands in while it was alive and you shattered it and you took out the yellow, which is extremely rare, you probably didn't do that. Even if you took out the yellow and the white, for that matter, that you probably didn't do either. But at some point of its production process, it becomes an egg, and it loses its name of meat, and it's now an egg in its parrot. So to answer the first point, we've got these butter which fell on the egg. Do you have a problem with butter b'chalav? No. However, the question still is, could I then take these eggs that are milky, the egg was parrot because it's out of the chicken, long forgotten its meaty part, and now it's come out, it's part of the sink, not part of the chicken, it's sitting in the sink, and you put the butter on it, and you want to mix that with meat. And it's shiny, you know, it goes across the board. There are many circumstances where you find something similar to this. Okay, well, the answer is that if you cook meat together with an egg, the egg becomes meaty. If you cook milk together with an egg, the egg becomes milky. And this is even if the shell is on. And the Rashba tells us, I wanted to try it before the shiur, but I completely forgot. If you take an egg and you put it in like a pot of ink, then you'll see that the egg becomes blue, bluing, right? Why? Because the egg shell is porous, and there's tiny, tiny, tiny little holes that allow other elements and water and meat to come through. So your shell is not protecting you at all from the meat. And your shell is not protecting you from anything else inside the pot, because slowly but surely, very small amounts, and the Rashba takes that into consideration for other maskaminas, very small amounts, but small amounts will go in. And when the small amounts go in, they're going to make the egg blue. Says the Rashba, so too with taste, the taste of meat, or the taste of butter that the eggs are sitting with in the pot could also enter and penetrate through these tiny small holes, because the egg is porous, which means a tiny bit can come in. So again, you have a pot in the fire, or just off the fire, and you have, as well as that, you have pieces of meat together with an egg in the pot. Your egg becomes meaty. Or if it's together with milk, with butter, or with any other hot milk, your egg becomes milky, because the shell, according to most Rishonim and the Rashba explains why, doesn't protect you. It's not as if you're sitting in some airtight bag. It's porous. And the proof is, says the Rashba, if you have ink and you cook the egg in a certain amount of ink, then all the ink will come into the egg and change its color. Well, try it. I didn't try it. So obviously things and taste and color can come in from the outside of the egg with all other things in the pot. And therefore, if you have eggs cooked with butter, the eggs become completely milky, because the butter will penetrate through the small porous hole in the egg shell. So we discuss the egg is parrot. Inside the egg at one point of the process is still meat, but we've long passed that. The fact that butter fell on your egg doesn't make a difference, because the egg is parrot. Okay, next. So how about if you want to have this egg with meat? Is the egg now milky? And the answer is, if you cook eggs together with butter, or if you cook eggs in another pot together with meat, they become whatever they're cooking with. And then if they're cooking with meat, they're meaty. If they're cooking with milk, they're milky. And therefore, it's after you cook eggs together with milk. However, many of you are probably thinking at this point, and I haven't discovered America, this is a famous Shabbos point, that you didn't cook it together in the pot. You poured, in our question anyway, you poured boiling hot water onto the egg. So if you cook it in the pot, of course it becomes milky, and of course it becomes meaty. No one's denying that at all. You didn't do that over here. What you did was, you poured boiling hot water from the pot onto the egg. And what would that be named? That would be called Irei Kli Rishon. you pour from a kli rishon onto your food. Now, both in Shabbat and in Bas B'Challah and in Issa B'Heta, we presume in most scenarios, according to most Rishonim,
Kol Halashon,
your taste and your cooking will only take place on a surface level, and it won't penetrate your taste right through the whole egg. For example, right, if you pour hot treif onto something cold, then you can take off the top level of the potato or whatever you have, and you can eat the rest. Because we don't presume that the taste penetrates throughout the food. And taste only penetrates throughout the food when you're cooking in the kli rishon, which means either it's on the fire or it's just now being taken off the fire. But in a case of iroi, where you have boiling hot liquid that you're pouring onto something else cold, then we say the taste of what you're pouring only enters into the top surface level. In this case, it would be the egg. And we call that a klifa or a klipa. Not to be confused with klipas, you know, in Kabbalah. I was talking to a Hasid Jerob about this shir whilst I was preparing, and for the first 3 minutes, he thought I was talking about klipas that we get rid of, you know, when we do a mitzvah. And that was fairly confusing, and he wasn't sure how the eggshells come into that. But we normally call it klifa, the top level, and the top area of any food. And therefore, in this shir, the eggs would be completely mutter, because you could just take the shell off. This klipa level is a very small amount, and the shell definitely covers that. So you pour boiling hot butter onto the egg, and therefore, from a kli rishon, therefore the taste should go in, and it does. But it only goes in the klipa. And if it only goes in the klipa or a klipa, which is the top surface level, you can shell the egg and have the eggs with meat. No problem at all. Yeah, but what about the dye? What about the rajma that is porous and it comes in? Yeah, fair enough, but only a tiny bit. And if it's only a tiny bit, then the rest of the egg is mutter and para. An egg is para. You had butter that fell on. Yeah, but the butter entered the egg shell. Take off the egg shell and your egg is completely fine to have with liver. So if that's relevant to you this morning, if you're making Shabbat, then you have the eggs and you pour boiling hot milk or boiling hot milk. You can have the meaty ones with milk and the milky ones with meat, as long as they are shell, as long as they are not shell. If they are shell, it's going to be harder to scrape it off. I will just cook new ones because it's going to be complicated. And then an egg is not expensive, as Moshe often explained, and therefore you have the ability just to carry on and get a new one. If you put, you know, 12 eggs, you have a big Shabbat for them, they've all got shells on, and you pour the butter on, then it's okay. So it's mutter. It's asr because it's porous if it's cooking. So before we move on to the last stage of the shir, we discuss an egg is paro by the time it comes out of the chicken. We discuss as well as that, that an egg is porous, which means if you cook an egg with meat or if you cook an egg with milk, then the dye of blue dye, the rajba's blue dye, or any taste will penetrate in and the egg will become whatever it's being cooked with. If it's being cooked with meat, it will become meaty, and if it's being cooked with milk, it will become milky. You cannot mix it after that. It's after. Potentially an Issa Midaraisa, Basa B'Challah. You cannot use it because it's cooked with it, the meat inside, and you can't then have it with milk. We then moved on to say that if the egg is shell, has a shell on, and you left them in the sink, and then you poured hot butter over them, then presumably you would chuck them. You think, wow, these eggs are milky, but it's not true. Because then we apply the halacha called Iroi Kli Rishon, which means you poured from a hot keli, but you're not sitting in a hot keli, and now for only the top level of the egg, which is called a klifa or a klipa, will become full of saturated with the butter. Take that off, and you can have your eggs with meat. And to leave off, which is the most common question, which is, I think, a few details, which is why it's asked so many times, and could I cook these eggs in a milky pot to have with me? And the answer is there's a few levels to that, and it's not a simple answer, yes or no. I'm going to go through what the Ashkenazim would generally do first, And then we'll leave up with the Sfardim because, you know, well, I'm surrounded by Sfardim here. And this is a Sfardim school where I'm sitting in this branch of Portuguese, and the Montefiore Coil is branch of Portuguese as well. So as Ashkenazim, I'm definitely outnumbered over here, but I don't know who's listening online. But we have here, with Ashkenazim, you can't l'chatchila ever take a milky pot and cook parah food in it in order to have it together with meat. Finished. You can never do that l'chatchila. You cooked this morning cheese in a pot, you washed it out, and you want to cook your eggs in now to have with meat. It's usher to do that, to l'chatchila say, I'm taking this pot to cook it with milk. So to have it now with meat or milk to have with meat, whichever one's the opposite, it's usher. Even though, notwithstanding, there's a concept called nat bar nat, which I'm sure you're also familiar with, which means the taste. If you take a milky pot, what's happened is the taste of milk has penetrated into the sides of the pot, quite weak. When you then use that to cook para food, and the milky taste then goes into your pasta or your potatoes or your egg, it's very far away from anything called milk. And therefore, the Gemara says in Chulin, I think it's Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, that nat bar nat is mutter. You can't create basar b'chalav with such a weak level of taste of milk. It's so far away from milk. This milk, so to speak, has been into the pot. It's come out of the pot into the pasta. So to say that asam is a rice to mix with meat because it's being one with milk is too far away. It's mutter, it's not banat. But the Ashkenazim are very machmer, for whatever reason, which is, you know, not to do this lechatchila. Very confusing otherwise. And you shouldn't mix meat. You shouldn't cook para food in meaty pots to have with milk, ever. And the other way around, too. The Ashkenazim are very machmeni. Even though it's not going to be called basar b'chalav, please. You've got your eggs in your pot, and it's got a shell on as well. Much as the Rashba says that it's porous, you know, the pot can discuss it. There's a certain level of protection in our eggs, right? And it's inside the pot. And the taste which comes out of the pot going into the egg to say if that mixes with meat is basar b'chalav, says Rav, please. I don't know whether it's Rav or Shmuel, but says the Gemara in Chulin, you know, that's not basar b'chalav. However, don't do it lechatchila. It's asa. It's asa to do lechatchila. However, says the Rama, if you by mistake mix it, and you cooked an egg together, you cook an egg in a milky pot, Ben Yonah, which you just used for cheese, and then you put it afterwards together with liver, and you mix it together, it's mutter b'dievet, because it's not real basar b'chalav, and it's mutter completely b'dievet. You don't have to chuck the food out. So don't do it. We don't want your kitchen to get too confusing. But if you do it, it's completely mutter b'dievet. If your pot is more than 24 hours old, which as we know is called Eino Ben Yoimai, and you haven't used it for hot milk or hot cheese within 24 hours, then we're much more easygoing with regard to be the halakhas of nat bar nat. And if you cooked it, your egg, in a pot, which is, most of our pots are like this, right? If you haven't been used for hot meat or milk, but walk for more than 24 hours, then you could take the food that you cooked and mix it with liver, no problem. Because it's Einoi Ben Yoimoi. And this is, I would say, the most common scenario. Most pots, if you take out the cupboard, you haven't used them for hot meat or milk for 24 hours, and you cook your eggs inside them, then you realize, hey, you have so many leftovers, you want to save it for Shabbat, to mix it with liver, no problem, you can mix it together. Because the pot is Einoi Ben Yoimoi, it's far away from Issa, it's not banat. We put those two together and we say, you can mix it. So let's just go back on these last few details. If you're an Ashkenazi, if the taste has been into the pot and into the food, not basar b'chalav, but the chatchila you keep away from it. You don't initially cook to have with liver. And if you do cook your eggs to have with liver in a milky pot, you can't mix it. You should have cooked it in a meaty pot. If you did mix it, but the evidence is okay. The most scenarios, I'm nearly finished, we've got a few minutes. Most scenarios, the pot is Einoi Ben Yoimoi. Some kli Einoi Ben Yoimoi. It's more than 24 hours old. And therefore, if you cooked your eggs in this pot, you can mix it together with liver. But says the Chokhmat Adam, you still shouldn't lechatchila say, I'm cooking the eggs in this pot to have it together with liver. That's still too far. Unless you're really stuck, like you're on holiday and you have one pot, and you're potted in a ben yoimoy, then we could say, well, you could cook lechatchila your pot, your eggs, to get in this milky pot to have them with meat, because you're completely stuck, which is rare nowadays as well, because you can go quickly and buy a pot. But if you have no mikveh nearby where you're going to toivel it, and you have nothing, it's right before Shabbos, and you have guests, and you're on holiday, and you only have one pot, and it's ain't a ben yoimoy, then I would presume that you could take the pot and cook your eggs inside it, lechatchila, to have with meat. I'm going to go over that again, because there's a lot of detail there, and I think it's probably the hardest part of the shir. Not by not. If it's too weak, not basa b'cholov. We machmer lechatchila. Don't cook initially eggs in it to have them with meat. And if you did cook your eggs in it, you shouldn't mix it. Right? If you cook your eggs in a milky pot, don't mix it. If you mix it because you didn't know, eat it. If the pot ain't ben yoimoy and you cooked your eggs, you can lechatchila mix it. If you haven't yet cooked your eggs, you should try and find another pot. If you really can't, and it's Erev Shabbos and you have guests, and you're stuck, then the pot is ain't ben yoimoy, you're allowed to cook in a milky pot, which is more than 24 hours old, in order to make this para food together with meat. Rabbi says, you should remember, this is all for Ashkenazim. Rabbi Vadia, and how he explains the Machaba, is very makel, and he has very little use for para pot. And he allows you to use a milky pot in order to cook para food to then have together with milk or with meat. And he allows nut by nut completely. And he says there's no problem with that at all. You're allowed to initially cook meat, eggs in a meaty or milky pot to have with, you know, eggs cooked in a meaty pot to have with milk. And that's a lot of words and a lot of details. But I just want to leave off with that because I think that's the most classic shaila that I know people have asked me anyway, which is para food in meaty pots and milky pots. I'd like to summarize what we've done, and I hope you managed to get something out of it, even if the last bit was fairly technical. We started off talking about Rav Moshe Montefiore, his Yahrzeit is coming, and we can learn from him how to, someone should have a yearning for Yerushalayim and for the Beis HaMikdash, which should be rebuilt, you know, b'mehir of Yomeinu. We then said that the egg is para. It starts off with formation by being meaty, then it's paro. We then discussed if an egg is pork, and if you cook in this pot, if you cook an egg together with meat, then what happens is the meat will go in. You can't have it with milk, it's basa b'chala. But we said that in the shaila, the buttered egg that we discussed, the egg is in the sink, it's cold, and you pour something on top, that's an iroi kli rishon, and in Shabbos, and in basa b'chala, it will only ever go a klippah. And if you take your shell off, you can have it with liver. And then we discussed, we said, that's all very well when you have boiling hot butter. But what happens if you just want to cook your eggs in a milky pot to have them with meat? Then, even though it's very weak, the taste is coming out of the pot into the egg, and it's far-fetched, the Gemara says, to presume that's butter b'chalav, you still, the chatchila, should keep well away from that. And you should always cook para food in para pots if you're Ashkenazi. And you should try your best, but if you did mix it, you cooked it in a milky ben yoimoy pot, and you mixed it by mistake, together with liver, it's mutter lechatchila at that point, and there's no problem. It's even easier if your pot hasn't been used for 24 hours, which is the most common scenario, then if you cooked the egg in this pot, you can definitely mix it with meat. You should try and not do that lechatchila, i.e. cook your egg in an Ein Ben Yoimoy pot in order to have it with meat. If you did and you have some spare, then you can mix it. You should try not to do that unless you're completely stuck. But if you are completely stuck, then it is mutter to do so. To say, I'm taking my meaty pot or my milky pot, which is Ein Ben Yoimoy, I'm putting the eggs inside them, and afterwards I'm going to have it together with meat. Because it's Ein Ben Yoimoy, so if you're stuck, the Chokhmat Adam says, you have what to rely on. And finally, we left off. We said with Svadim, they're more makel generally with Nafanat, and they're very, Rabbi Vadi is very easygoing in this respect by saying that you can lechatchila take a milky pot, cook your para food inside it, and later have it with meat. So there's very little b'diavad there. he's much more, Sfardim are generally more easygoing in this area according to him anyway, and therefore that would be Mutter. Thank you very much for listening, and I wish everyone a lovely day, and Kol Tov, and Hatzlacha Rava. Thank you.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.